When we look at anything, when we smell something, when we touch something, hear something, taste something, the senses convey to us a whole set of information, and our brain, physical brain, and the parasympathetic system of our human body is very tightly wired together so that the sensations that our senses pick up then route certain electrical information to the brain, and the brain then, due to pattern recognition, which is largely due to our experience base over countless lifetimes as countless kinds of beings, then all of that stored information then produces a certain result of perception. From an energetic point of view, from a subtle anatomy point of view, and to a certain extent, modern psychology and modern neurobiology is just starting to head in this direction. That, of course, because consciousness itself is not yet accepted in the Western medical model or the Western research model as a fact, then the idea of past lives, the idea of what's the distinction between the brain and consciousness or brain and awareness, these kinds of things have a long way to go before Western research, Western medical scientific approaches, including psychology, will fully get on board with what perception really is. Whereas in the East traditions, this has been being studied for vast periods of time. And even if we just look at something like the earliest forms of biofeedback are from China, and they are almost 10,000 years old. So we want to acknowledge for ourselves that when we are perceiving something through any of the senses that we have, that there is an awful lot in that nanosecond of perception. And then, of course, because the experience is not a nanosecond long, that experience is however long it is. For instance, right now I've been talking for 3 minutes and you've been listening and looking at a computer screen or your room or whatever else you're looking at. So this is core for us to understand as we engage Vipassana from the point of view of its relationship to perception. And I would encourage any practitioner to, once this is posted, to just go back and listen to the first minute and a half again, where I gave the linkage. And it's only partial linkage, but it's substantial. So, smile. And with that, of course, is a whole set of sensations. The sensations are intimately and seemingly inextricably linked to the sense of self who is smiling or has chosen not to smile. So let's just feel that for a moment. Now, That's it. And we have comfort in our body. We have comfort wherever we're sitting, like we're in an environment that's not threatening. And we're just sitting. Awareness is present because awareness always is. And maybe at some point you experienced a distinction, and the distinction was that awareness simply is, with no self, no body, not because you've abstracted from the body, but it fell away from importance. Self also fell away from importance. And so if that has occurred for you at any point in any time that you've meditated, including that few minutes, that 30 seconds, that is reporting something very monumental, actually. We smile. We take a long, slow, deep breath. We breathe. And then simply be for a few minutes. Breathing in, breathing out. Now, one could ask, what is the distinction, if there is one, in what we've just done and what we've been doing for weeks with shamatha? That would be a good question. If there is a distinction, it is all around the perceiver and what the perceiver or the doer thinks they are doing. With shamatha training, we use our duality. We use it to accomplish taming and initial training. We use it. We smile. We take a long, slow, deep breath. We tell ourselves we're smiling. We tell ourselves we're breathing. We follow the trail of the breath. We soften and open. All of these are dualistic. There isn't anything about shamatha training that isn't dualistic. So we use our duality. And if we are wise, we will use it wisely and we will use it thoroughly. And what will happen is that we will end up in a lesser octave of a non-dual state. The lesser octave is that it's not non-dual at all. However, it is a state of union, a state of contentment. Our parts have come together into an integrated whole. Our mind, emotion, body, you know, all of it, our psychos, physical complex, everything's come together into an integrated whole. That is a state of union. And so that at-one-ment feels, in no matter which octave of it we're experiencing, it's contentment, it's radiance, it's bliss, it's happiness, etc. It's peace, tranquility. All of it feels like a lower octave of a non-dual state. It is a union, but it's not non-dual, no matter how refined it is, because of duality was used to bring it about. And that's what it is. But excellent, no harm, no foul, right? Excellence has resulted. Vipassana wants to start from there. Vipassana wants to start from a very cogent understanding that we are deluded. Duality is delusion. To think that it's real is delusion. Now, we interact with it constantly every day. Our sense of self is itself a deluded state. Now, that's not just because I'm practicing Buddhism. That's because if we really take it apart, if we engage it with analysis, it falls apart. Okay? So that's Vipassana too, to do that process. So that we can get back to a meditation. The distinction is now that we want to not just engage our duality in order to get a more refined state that is still dualistic. That's shamatha. Excellent. Really excellent. We want to start to undo the duality, perceive through it, and understand that fundamentally all our perceptions, well, I'll leave the word all out. Perception by its nature is also dualistic. There's a perceiver, there's a perceived, there's a set of conditions, there's a message that goes to the parasympathetic and neural network system. That's two. Okay, so we want to understand, like I said on Saturday, something about this mirror of the mind, that if nothing's in front of the mirror, there's nothing in the mirror. Therefore, even when we are perceiving, or when something is in front of our senses, in front of this aggregate of this collection of memories and databases and all of that that we call ourselves, even when something is right here, like my voice, is there a way to have a different relationship with it, like that of a mirror with nothing in front of it? It's a big leap. And that's the distinction between Vipassana and Shamatha. It's a big leap when it's real. And that's why this is called an advancing meditation practice. So we smile. We take a long, slow, deep breath. We settle again, breathing in and breathing out. Now for the next 10 minutes, try to simply rest. That does not mean to lose alertness, but simply rest awareness in itself. That means you don't do anything. You are awareness. For those who are struggling, there's a fighting going on inside you. All the years of meditation practice and its training is trying to come to the foreground. It's trying to be used as the positive cultivation that it has been. So let that be. So as an example, you know, there's a familiarity with the breath, there's a familiarity with the rhythm, with its softness, etc. There might be an inner tendency to hold the gaze, eyes closed or open, in a certain way. So all of that is positive. It's when we call it to mind, as in coaching, that then that's an activity that's a doing. But when it wants to naturally, because of the habits of cultivating a meditation practice for years, that just wants to arise and be in place, don't fight it, okay? Start all over again. I'm sorry, the distinction here is that in the coaching, the sense of self is coaching and directing. But when the habit of our training of years is simply organizing the inner structures, if you will, to be in a stable, serene, contented, pointed, alert condition, or state, that's different than coaching. That's a natural, that's like a plant. It naturally knows how to grow. And that's what's trying to happen. We take a long, slow, deep breath to complete our sitting. Feel yourself. Feel yourself through the day. Feel the distinction, if you can, or when you can, that who are you? What's going on in any given moment? That's for Pashana. Create your day, my friends. Love y'all.